even have my UGG boots on. And I know a lot of people don't like those, but I do. They're comfy, they're warm, so I wear them. It's been an awesome week here at Dominican. We've had some rain and some clouds this week, and you know, I see lots of all the girls are wearing cute boots and scarves and carrying around lattes, and you know, fall is here because there's pumpkin everything on the market. I've been good though. I haven't been having a bunch of pumpkin treats yet. I did find this really cool website though that's all paleo recipes, and there's a grain-free pumpkin pancake recipe that is calling my name, and I'm really excited to try it. It has coconut and almond flour, so they're gluten-free. And of course, they have pumpkin and ginger and cloves and some other really yummy fall spices, but I want to wait to have those with my mom and my sisters. Both my mom and my littlest sister, Callie, are... My mom is primarily gluten-free, and my littlest sister is completely gluten-free for allergy reasons, but I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I'm trying to hold out until Thanksgiving because I want to make these really yummy fall treats for them. I love looking at new recipes, and for some reason, the fall and winter seasons, it really brings that out in me. You know, just being at home with a cup of tea in the kitchen, making new recipes, it's so much fun. I love it all year round, but especially in the fall. You know, you want to be inside and cozy and warm. And I made some baked salmon balls yesterday, and they were actually, I was reading the recipe, you know, the little info thing, and they were saying that they were actually, the lady who created this, were supposed to be called salmon bites, but for some reason she kept calling them salmon balls, and so she finally gave in because that's what her family started to know them as, and so they became salmon balls. But they're really good and super easy and super healthy to make. They just have a couple ingredients. It's just salmon and green onions and chives, a little bit of seasoning, whatever you like, you know, garlic, salt, and pepper. You mix in an egg and you bind them to keeps them all together. You just roll them into balls and you throw them in the oven for 20 minutes. And they were so delicious. Really healthy, and they have those good omega-3 fatty acids and lots of protein. So I just had to share that with you. I was really excited. My mom makes these things called salmon patties, and it's basically the same concept, but you roll them, you flatten them out into little patties, and then you coat them in flour and fry them. So not good for you at all, but they've always been one of my favorite foods, and so this is kind of the refined, healthy version. It's been a really busy week here at school, but a fun one. On Sunday night, we had what is, in my opinion, the best event of the year, and it's Midnight Mayhem. And what it is it marks the beginning of basketball season. And so what all of the athletic teams get together, and each team does a funny skit, and it usually ends up being a dance, a skit or a dance, and they always have a theme. And so we had really great ones this year. You know, sometimes the teams don't really come together and make very cohesive routines, but this year every team really did an awesome job with their fun themes. We had like 90s boy band, we had White Chicks, that movie, and they have a dance off in the movie. And so that I think was my favorite one. The cross country team recreated that dance off from White Chicks, and the team is co-ed, and so they had the men do a dance and then they had the women do a dance. They went head to head, and it was so funny, and they got the dance down so well. They did an amazing job. And the basketball team ended up winning the skit. They had the 90s boy band routine, and it was really funny. The volleyball team did a Shrek theme, and they even had three of their players dressed up in those little blow-up mice suit, pretending to be the three blind mice from the movie. And it was just really cute, and everyone did a really good job, put a lot of effort. Everyone's performances were really well done. But most importantly, I want to give a shout out to the PSAC committee, which is the Penguin Student Athletic Advisory Committee. And Samantha Rains, she's a senior business major volleyball player. She's their president, and she did an amazing job of hosting the event, putting in all the hard work to get you know, get all the facilities together, get security at the building, organize all of the teams to come together and the games in between the skits and, you know, all of that behind the scenes work. And they, Samantha did an amazing job and everyone else on the committee and the athletic staff. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to her and everyone that helped her out. It was an amazing event. Everyone had a really great time, and it ended with a nice, fun dunk contest from both men and women basketball teams. So it was just really, it was a really fun night, and it was really great. I really enjoyed myself. So let's get down to business here. Coming up on Real Life on Penguin Radio, we're talking green cleaning products and what you're using and how you can make your cleaning routine a little bit better. And for beauty, there's a new nail polish out on the market that is designed to help prevent date rape. And we're going to see what that's all about and how you can implement that into your beauty routine for nights out. And that's going to tie into the relationships, so you'll see how that works in a little bit. And for inspiration, we are going to talk about the Teal Pumpkin Project. So stay tuned right here and let's get real. You know, as our lives become busier, they're overscheduled and more stressful, and it's really easy to gravitate towards products that promise to make, you know, these really annoying chores that you have to do easier. You know, bathroom cleaner, you can just pick something up at the on your next trip to the store and you're going to pick up something. Has one of those bright colorful bottles, you know, a quick fix, whatever it may be. But are you thinking about what is inside that container? You know, maybe you have a house cleaner who brings over all the products, or maybe you're someone who cleans your own home regularly. But you, whatever choice you make, you should be informed and take the time to consider other options. Most cleaning products are made up of really harsh compounds of chemicals, and they can be really bad for not only your health, but your kids' health, and even your pets. That's not something that you would generally think of when you're cleaning your bathroom, is if this is harmful for your pet. But the fact of the matter is, that can be an issue. So people are starting to rethink what they're bringing into their houses, and they're looking for better solutions. So we're going to look from two experts. There's Leslie Reichart, and she's the author of The Joy of Cleaning. And then there's Sarah Snow, and she's the author of Sarah Snow's Fresh Living. And they are coming together, and they are sharing reasons why people should make the switch to green cleaning products, in their professional opinions. So we're going to talk about some solutions that work really well a little bit later on, but here's some reasons why. Let's talk about why this is important. You know, what's the big deal about just running down to Target or Walmart and just grabbing whatever cleaning supplies you can? So if you want a healthier home, and you can go green because there will no longer be those chemicals that can be absorbed into your skin or breathed in by the person cleaning. And some of those benefits extend to family members, and they're no longer going to be breathing in those cleaners because they're going to linger on in the air for a really long time. And they're going to sit on the surfaces of your countertops and of your cabinet doors and, you know, even of your toilet seat. If you're using really harsh chemicals on your toilet seat and then you sit down, that can really affect the, you know, body parts that touch the toilet, whatever that may be. And that's something that you really have to be conscious of. And it's not something that you're going to think about every day. But next time you are cleaning, think about going for a safer option because you are going to become in really close contact. And Snow even says that using green cleaning products can reduce the chances of developing asthma. And today, asthma is one of the most common chronic illnesses, and it's one of the leading causes of school absences across the country. And I'd never heard of that. And so she kind of brought that to my attention, and I thought that was really interesting. If you can think about that, you would have never thought that, cleaning my bathroom might make my kid have to stay home from school. Or maybe you have asthma and you have to stay home from work. You know, that's really not something that you want to be a part of. All around, this will just give you a purer environment to live in. And when you're using these chemicals, you know, they're harmful and they're being released not only into your home, but also into the environment. And that's not great for you or the people around you. And if you make the switch over to greener cleaning products, you're going to help reduce pollution, and that's going to affect the waterways and the air. And I thought that was really great. It really minimizes our impact on ozone depletion and global climate changes, because these chemicals that we're using in our cleaning products, they are smog producing. So we need to be conscious of that and potentially switch over to something that isn't going to produce that much smog. Also, another little bonus is that many of these green cleaning products are made from recyclable packaging, which really minimizes waste. I just bought some new laundry soap, and I use scent-free, dye-free. I have pretty sensitive skin, so I always use an organic, all-natural type cleaner. And I found this new one, and it was in this really cute bottle, and that's what attracted it to me. Is, to be honest, it had a pink top, and I love everything pink. And so I looked at it, and it was in this really cute, it looked almost like a paper mache container, but it was recycled. It was completely recycled from cardboard and other papers. And so you could tell that it had been, you know, refurbished and, you know, mushed out and re-put together and created into this nice little soap container with a really cute pink lid. And it was all natural, it was organic, and it didn't have harmful chemicals that were going to be harmful to my skin or my environment. And so that was a really cool thing. I knew that I was getting something that was good for me, good for the environment, and it promoted recycling. And I've been all about that recycling lately. I even just bought some more recyclable bags. We had a new store open in San Rafael here. We went to Home Goods, and it's all kinds of home products, and it's so much fun. But they had really cute recyclable bags, so I stocked up on a bunch of those. So, in addition to the good packaging, the product inside of it is safer. And these conventional cleaning products are going to pose chemical burns. They pose the risk of chemical burns. And that's just not something that you want to mess around with. It can get into your skin, and it can get into your eyes. When we talked about makeup a few weeks ago, I know I talked about my internship where I work and at Juice Beauty. And one thing that prompted Juice Beauty to come about and become a great company is that the founder did some research and realized that your skin absorbs 60% of what it's in contact with. And so if you're using really harsh, you know, scrubbing chemicals, and that's going to come into contact with your skin, you're going to absorb 60% of that. And so if you make the switch to green cleaners, they're not going to be as corrosive, and they're not going to be as harsh, and they're going to meet stricter standards regarding inhalation toxicity, and they're going to be less combustible, and your skin may absorb them, but it's not going to be as much of a problem as if you were using a more conventional cleaner. So your air quality is going to be a lot better. And, you know, most people, I don't know, some of you might like the smell of cleaning products. I personally don't at all. I do not like it. When I am nannying at the twins' house, they have a house cleaner. And when she comes over and does all of her cleaning stuff, I take the boys out. And if, you know, if we're home, if it's in the afternoon, we leave, because she uses some really strong chemicals. And, you know, I'm hoping to maybe talk with their mom about making the switch over to some better chemicals, because she not only has the twins, but she has some stepchildren and a pet too. So that's something that they need to be conscious of. But the smell is a really strong chemical odor. And people these days are even starting to develop allergies to these products. I babysit for another woman, and I have to wear she bought me clothes to wear over at her house that never leave. She washes them in her special soap, and I don't take them home, because I do have candles and lotion and perfumes and things of that nature in my home. And she has such a bad chemical allergy that she's unable to be around that. I can't even wear makeup when I go over to her house because she can smell that scent of the chemical. She's really sensitive. So I use special shampoo before I go to her house, and it's unscented and all natural. So I have to use that special shampoo, wear the special outfit. And her house is, it's really beautiful, but it's created to where you're not going to get a lot of chemicals. And she doesn't have anything that's dyed. She doesn't have any conventional rugs, you know, because rugs are dyed and that releases chemicals. And she has a cushion or a wrap over her couch that helps reduce the transfer of chemicals that we bring in and other scents from our clothes. And so people are really sensitive to scents, and it's a big thing. It's a big issue. These chemical allergies are becoming really prevalent, and these store-bought products that you're taking home, you know, they may smell okay-ish, but they're very toxic. And they're cleaning products that you can make at home. And they oftentimes include natural essential oils, and they can be really, not only smell better, but they can actually be good for you. They're more like aromatherapy cleaning tools. So that's something to consider. You know, think about those allergies and think about those people that are suffering from that. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, and you don't want to put yourself in that position, because you have the potential to develop those allergies. And this is a huge factor here coming up, and this is something that a lot of people don't think about, but they're going to be really excited when they do finally realize it. These products are less expensive. I went, when I moved into the place that I'm living at now, when I left the dorms, and I went to buy cleaning products. I was stunned at how expensive they are. They cost so much money. It's like $8 for a bottle of spray clean or something. And every different, you know, countertop or every different surface or your toilet and then your counters and then your bathtub, everything, they always need different cleaners. And so it can cost upwards of $30 just to get a few cleaners plus some Windex for your windows. So if you are doing home cleaning, you can use products such as vinegar, olive oil, and lemon juice, and they do the tricks for pennies on the dollar comparing to buying conventional cleaning products. So why would you go out and, you know, buy all of this expensive, useless stuff when you already have these things in your pantry? If you make the investment into these green products, it also makes sense if you own a business. And the cost of environmentally friendly cleaning products is becoming a lot more competitive. And so if you are willing to do it on your own, that can save you a lot of money as well. So this is going to reduce the risk for your employees, reduce their sick days. And it's also really good sustainability. It will reduce the risk of fires. And if, you know, this might not be a factor for all businesses, but also chemical spills. You know, if you're in a hospital or a doctor's office, you know, my dad has a doctor's office, and he uses really good sustainable cleaning products as well, because he doesn't want to irritate any of his patients' allergies and pose the risk for them to have a reaction. So these products have fewer antibacterials in them often, and you really need to look, you know, do you really need to have products that say antibacterial? No, that's a big debate. Everything is antibacterial hand soap or antibacterial cleaner or antibacterial this and that and whatever. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, they're saying that washing with antibacterial soap is not any better than washing with regular soap. It is truly just more chemicals. The American Medical Association says that the frequent use of antibacterial ingredients can promote bacterial resistance to antibiotics. So if you continue to absorb and inhale and use all these products, it can affect your body and its way to heal if, in fact, you do need antibiotics, if you have some whatever you need to have antibiotics for, whatever that may be, whether you have some infection or other health problems. And triclosan is a common antibacterial agent found in many soaps. And that chemical has been linked to messing with hormonal systems, including your thyroid. That's really not something that you want to mess around. So most green and environmentally friendly cleaning products don't contain those antibacterial agents. The more you know about these ingredients, the better. You know, government regulations does not, this is crazy to me. This was amazing. Government regulations do not require ingredients to be listed on any of their cleaning products. What kind of advertising is that? If they're not willing to list it and have that sense of transparency, I don't want it in my house. If they're not willing to say, this is what we use, this is why we back it up, this is why it's good for you, it is no good to me. I don't want that. I don't want that in my house. I don't want that around the twins. I don't want it around myself or anyone else for that matter. And this is another reason why you should be an advocate for making your own products at home. And believe me, I am not one of these DIY, sit around from Pinterest, crafty people, do it yourself. No, I am not one of those people at all. But this is my health. This is my life, what I'm absorbing, what I'm breathing in. And this could affect so many areas of my life. And so this is something that I am becoming more passionate about, not from the, oh, this is fun and creative standpoint, but it is. That's just a nice little plus, but it's good for you. So if nothing else, do it for your body. Do it for yourself. Be well. So this is why, you know, these are some reasons that you really should, you know, take care of your environment. And, you know, it can start at home. You know, there's a lot of people, oh, I really want to get involved. And, you know, I want to be a better environmentalist. And, you know, that's a big thing these days, to be an environmentalist. We use that word in one of my classes. Every other word is environmentalist. I just said it like 8 times. But this is a way that you can take charge. Everything in aerosol cans has harmful chemicals. And, you know, I'm a big violator of that. I love hairspray. I know I've talked about that before. But whether you need to get your housekeeper on board, or if you have a housekeeper, find one that uses eco-friendly products, or do it yourself. You know, you need to find this really nice balance, and there are ways to make green choices and even small changes to your daily routine. You know, maybe just replace your disposable paper towels with washable cheesecloths. You know, that's a really good one that the twins do. They really don't use a lot of paper towels. They have reusable cloths, and that can be really great for cleaning your surfaces, you know, in the home. And these natural substances are really safe, and they're effective, and they are not going to have a lot of harmful side effects. And they're really going to, you know, just awaken your body and just really make it really whole. So a couple green options to start making this transition into your home: air freshener. So if you want to make your own air freshener, use baking soda and natural oils instead of those aerosols to freshen the air in your home. You know, I love those bathroom sprays and, you know, room sprays, but something that's a little bit more natural, you can mix baking soda with natural oils. And if you need to find like the proportions and the measurements, and you can find that online. I don't want to bombard you with that nonsense right now. You know, you can just open up, it's very simple. You open up, you know, baking soda, and, you know, you can place the extracts in there. And so, you know, you can even boil them over water, but to make kind of a room air freshener. So that's something to look into that might be kind of fun. I may do that with some nice fall scents, you know, like some cloves or something like that. Make a nice, and some orange. Ooh, that would be really good. Some cloves and orange. Make a nice little all natural potpourri. This was a big one because I'm a big use of, you know, scouring powder. And many of these commercial scouring powders, they contain chlorine and really harmful chemicals. Sometimes I realize that my hands are burning a little after I clean. But baking soda and table salt are really good natural substances that are generally going to be found in your pantry. And they can replace these abrasive solvents that, you know, are traditionally used to scrub these hard surfaces. So if you take a wet bristle brush, you know, like a dish brush, and you can clean surfaces using these natural soaps or salt and baking soda, it really works well on a, you know, a greasy surface. Karen Siegelmeyer is the author of The Naturally Clean Home, and it has 150 super easy herbal formulas for green cleaning. So that's a book that you might want to check out. And she recommends store-bought extracts to make it a little bit nicer smell. She recommends rosemary, lavender, lemon, rose, or ginger. I never thought about ginger, but I love that scent. I love that flavor. So I think that would be a really great, you know, asset to your cleaning routine. Who wouldn't want a house smelling like a gingerbread cookie? I think it would be delicious. So if you add a few drops to, you know, baking soda or borax, you know, a soap, that's going to make some, it's going to give it some extra cleaning power. And you know, you need to be careful still because you are using things that are chemically reacting together. You do need to be careful. And so they, Meyer recommends that you do wear gloves when you're cleaning with these products, especially if they do have the essential oils in them. That can be, it can be irritating to your skin. It's not going to be harmful, but it may just be a little topically irritating depending on how sensitive your skin is. So that can be something that you just need to be conscious of. So as you guys can see, you know, there's a lot of different options out there. And, you know, a big one is vinegar. The cleaning lady who works at my dad's office, she uses vinegar a lot, and that is really good with cleaning calcium deposits, and it can cut grease, grime, and wax buildup. So that's something that is super cheap, you know, big containers of vinegar, and it's really a good cleaner. Baking soda is a common ingredient to really clean with. We've talked about that, and that's going to deodorize and it removes stains. And if you need to use it in fabric, it will really soften that fabric. Disinfectants are a big one. I know I am a big disinfectant person. I really like things to be clean, and you can use citrus extracts and juice, you know, to sanitize, and it's going to leave you with a really nice fresh scent as well. You know, grapefruit. Have you seen grapefruit cleaners? There's a lot of them out there right now. So those are some really great options for you out there. Lemon is, if you can cut a lemon and you just run it across a cleaning board, that can clean and disinfect. And another cool trick that I learned, and I actually tried this, is rub a few dabs of lemon juice onto clothes to remove stains. And you got to wash it immediately because you don't want that lemony sugar to soak in. But that's a really great trick, is, you know, put a little bit of lemon and then wash it immediately. So I really hope that the next time you are cleaning, you can think about a few of these natural cleaning solutions and, you know, kind of turn away from those harmful chemical ridden products and, you know, try one of those healthy alternatives. It can't hurt. You know, if you don't like it, find something that you do. There may be something out there that works better than the other, something that you prefer in your home. But think about all of those factors, environmental factors, breathing factors, skin factors, everything for you. So take that into consideration next time you're doing some cleaning, and I hope that you found some of these tips helpful. So we are going to take a quick break on Penguin Radio, and we will be right back, and we'll talk beauty when we get here. So listen up here on Penguin Radio, and we're going to take a Bosco break. Do you like
love? Do you like love? Yeah. This is another Bosco break. If you're going to have someone ship you a package of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine via FedEx, make sure the sender has the correct address. Three Houston residents are likely cursing the person who mislabeled just such a package after it arrived at the wrong residence and the owner alerted the police, the Houston Chronicle reports. A tip directed cops to a nearby house where they say they found Michael Taylor, Stephanie Adams, and Leslie Peck holed up with $100,000 worth of drugs and a weapons arsenal, as well as Adams' 5-year-old kid, who was reportedly napping while mom did meth in the next room. In addition to the drugs in the package, they also say they found LSD, hashish, pain pills, steroids, morphine, codeine, and even prescription cancer medications. Oh, and also a bunch of shotguns, handguns, and a semi-automatic rifle. The three were arrested on drug and weapons charges and currently have a new address, the Harris County Jail. As for other drug news, San Miguel de Allende is a sleepy artist enclave nestled in the mountains of central Mexico, equally popular with the artists and retired Americans. But the city jolted awake yesterday as federal special forces swept into a seafood restaurant and nabbed one of the nation's most notorious drug lords, Hector Beltran Leyva, who had apparently been hiding in plain sight in nearby Querétaro. The honcho of the eponymous Beltran Leyva cartel had been posing as a dealer of not drugs, but rather art and real estate, says a rep with the Mexican AG's office, and was living a low-key lifestyle, avoiding attracting the attention of neighbors, friends, or the authorities. Beltran Leyva is the fourth of his brothers to fall, notes the AP. Two others are currently cooling their heels behind bars, while another was killed in 2009 when Beltran Leyva took over leadership of the cartel. Obviously, this is not the Beltran Leyva's organization in its strongest moment, says a Mexican security expert, but it continues to be a criminal organization capable of generating localized violence in some states. Beltran Leyva's head carries a $5 million bounty stateside and a $2.2 million bounty in Mexico. As opposed to the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, dubbed the world's most powerful drug lord, Leyva's capture is the latest in a string of coups for Mexican authorities. That's all for your Bosco Break. Back to the show.
Thank you, Bosco. That was some really interesting information there. You know, maybe if I can go capture some drug lords, I'll be set for life. Just joking. But thank you again for that, Bosco. That was a really great news piece there. So I want to talk beauty with you guys. And some of you may have heard about a beauty trend that can help prevent date rape. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? When was the last time that you got a manicure that could also prevent being drugged and potentially date raped? The likely answer is never. Four college students claim that they have come up with a way to do that, though. Undergraduate students at North Carolina State University, Ankesh Maiden, Stephen Gray, Tasso Von Windham, and Tyler Confrey Maloney, they created a nail polish called Undercover Colors, and this changes colors with the presence of common date rape drugs, such as roofies, you know, Rohypnol, Xanax, and GHB. And to see if one of these drugs have been slipped into a drink, a woman can, they have to stir it with their finger. And a lot of people are coming back, you know, and the nail polish will change colors. You know, that's the point. So if their drink has been spiked, their nail polish will immediately change colors. And a lot of people are saying that this is not exactly discreet or good manners or hygienic. But it's one of the more stylish ways that, you know, there have been similar inventions. You know, there's coasters that you can use and, you know, cups and straws, but you might look a little silly taking around your own coasters and cups and straws to restaurants and bars and clubs and whatever it may be. And so these guys have created this nail polish, and it's designed to do the same thing. So Maiden told Higher Education Works in June, this is a quote, "We wanted to focus on preventative solutions, especially those that could be integrated into products that women already use. All of us have been close to someone who has been through the terrible experience of date rape, and we began to focus on finding a way to help prevent the crime." So I thought that that was really nice, you know, them taking a stand for these women and people, you know, their friends or their sisters and or family members, whoever it may be, to really try to prevent the crime. You know, critics are, they're saying that, you know, this is a clever concept and they're good intentions, but these products, you know, this product isn't adding up to something that actually empowers women. So I started thinking about that. Is it empowering women? Is that the point, though, of this, to empower women? I'm not sure if it is. I think it's made to protect women. And if they have the choice to do something for themselves, to protect themselves, and to prevent harm, how is that not empowering women? You know, I'm thinking about my sister. She's 18. She's about to be 19. And she lives in LA. I've talked about Taylor on the show before. And she lives in downtown LA. Her apartment overlooks LA Live and, you know, the city center, Staples Center, right there. And, you know, she goes out with her friends, you know, not to clubs and to bars. She's too young. But they go out. They go to the movies. They go out at night. They go to restaurants. They walk around. And the sad part is date rape happens. And even if you're not on a date, people can try and spike your drink, you know, even just at a little restaurant. And the fact of the matter is it happens. And I would rather have my sister be protected and maybe look a little bit tacky sticking her finger in her drink. Because believe me, I love her, but that's not the tackiest thing that she's ever done. Nor is it the tackiest thing I've ever done. And probably a lot of you listeners out there. Because the fact is that there are scumbags in this world. And I want to be clear, and I don't want to say that I do not believe that women are the only victims and the only ones that are subjected to this. You know, men are drugged too. Men have this problem as well. But right now we're focusing on the nail polish. And if men want to wear this nail polish too on one of their fingers, I think that would be just fine. If they maybe had a clear one that might change colors, I think that would be awesome for men. They don't want, you know, some bright pink color or whatever it may be. I think that would be great. And so I think, personally, that it's nice. Nice might not be the best word for that. I think it is empowering for women to be able to have a choice in where they go. You know, they want to go out and have a good time with their friends. They don't want to have to worry about being roofied. So I think that this is a good product. And Feministing is a blog, and they pointed out that date rape drugs are not used to facilitate sexual assault all that often. While exact estimates vary, it's safe to say that plain old alcohol is the substance most commonly used in drug-facilitated rape. That very well may be. However, most of these drugs are being slipped into drinks. If they're going to find a way, if these scummy people are trying to find a way to harm others, this is likely a way that they're going to do it. And so we have to take that into consideration. We have to be progressive. That's a big thing right now, is everyone's being progressive. We have to be progressive in this situation. And we have to realize that this is something that is very real. And move forward with that. Take that knowledge and really create something that is going to work well for people. And Tara Culp Ressler, she works for Think Progress, and she says that well-intentioned products like anti-rape nail polish ends up fueling victim blaming. She says that any college students who don't use special nail polish could open themselves up to criticism for failing to do everything in their power to prevent rape. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that this nail polish is just another item that is going to add to a growing list of gimmicky seeming precautions that include anti-rape underwear or pepper spray cameras. And, you know, they're, quote, deluding these women into believing that they're safe from sexual violence. And this is coming from Feministing. And so I'm curious, you know, what people think about that. And I've been thinking about this a lot. And to be 100% honest, I would wear this nail polish. I think that it does empower women. I think that there is cruelty in the world. I think that there's always going to be harm. There are always going to want to be people that want to bring you down, that want to hurt you. And I think that there is a lot of blame in the world. You know, from the beginning of time, you know, whatever origin you believe in or wherever you think we came from as humans and as a society, there's always been blame. If you look in any, you know, hierarchy situation, you know, something happens, someone gets blamed. Even if you're at work, you know, something doesn't go right, you know, your spreadsheet doesn't look as nice, someone's going to get blamed for that. Or, you know, maybe you're a mom and you didn't do your kid's hair right. That was my big thing. My mom could never do my hair right. I was so annoying and so picky. Sorry, Mom. But there's blame. So in any situation, that's something that you're going to face every day. And so a problem you know, people are saying that, you know, the problem with this nail polish is that it distracts these real solutions. But I really don't think that it does. I think that we need to understand what we're facing in the world. You know, we have these really terrible situations. You know, date rape does happen. Sexual assault does happen. Drugging does happen. And I think that that's something that we need to acknowledge and make advances towards preventing. And so I think by creating this nail polish, it's going to create an awareness within the community that there are things that women are doing to make those strides to prevent those problems and to prevent assault and to protect themselves. So a lot of the time, you know, this is becoming an issue because a lot of people are really upset. And Feministing says that a lot of the time we get focused on these new products because they're innovative and they're interesting and it's really cool that they figured out how nail polish does this. But at the end of the day, are you having those tough conversations with students and men and women who are at risk for committing these sexual assaults? And Tracy Vitchers, she is the board chair for Students Active for Ending Rape, which stands SAFER, is the acronym. And this is a point that she brought up, and she talked to Think Progress, and she said, "Are you talking to young men about the importance of respecting other people's boundaries and understanding what it means to obtain consent?" And that is an issue. You know, at Dominican, they're doing a lot to really prevent sexual assault on campus. And thankfully, we're not a campus that deals with a whole lot of that. You know, that's not something that's a prevalent issue on our campus. I think it's safe to say that it is an issue that can affect most college campuses. But thankfully, Dominican has a really good team set up. And, you know, we really try to empower our students, really inform our students, and make an awareness on the campus. You know, kind of like what this nail polish is trying to do. Create this awareness. And I think we do that really well on our campus to know that that is not okay. You know, at the beginning of every freshman orientation, you have to take a sexual safety class. And they make it fun for you. You know, it's not something where you sit in a lecture and listen about safe sex and they hand out condoms at the end. It's not like that. You know, they talk about protecting yourself. And they realize that you're in college and you may go out and you may be drinking and you may not exactly know what's going on. And you may not have a ton of memories about it the next day. And so they're being really very real about this. And so they're really taking the time to implement this education, not only with the men of what is okay and what boundaries are, but also with the women. And so I think that that's really great. I think that, again, we have to acknowledge that sometimes there are these issues. And how do we prevent them from happening? And how do we make them better? You know, my dad always tells me when I'm complaining to him about one thing or the other, he tells me, you know, don't tell me what's wrong. Tell me how to fix it. You know, he'll tell me, don't think of, you know, he tries to implement that in my brain. You know, don't think about these problems. Think of a solution. Figure out how to make it better. And so I think that's what we're doing with this nail polish. Yes, it is a terrible situation, the fact that we as a society need this product, but the reality is that we do. And so, in my personal opinion, I'm excited for this. You know, I'm thinking about my little sister in LA, and I want her to have this product. And then I would want to have this product. And I did have a friend in high school, and she was victim. You know, she went to college, and it was the first party that she ever went to. You know, she came from a very calm, semi-conservative, if you will, household. And, you know, then she's thrown into this college mix and, you know, she goes to this party and, you know, there are lots of people there and, you know, she wasn't educated that you don't take drinks from people that you don't know. You know, make sure that you're with your friends. Follow them around. If they're, you know, wandering off, you have to protect yourself. That is in your hands. And she wasn't aware of these things. And so she went off. She took a drink from somebody, not even thinking it was alcohol, and she was drugged and raped. And that's something now, she's older now, and that's something that still affects her every day. And she's actually married, and she's getting ready to have her first baby. So she's recovered very nicely from this issue. But I just keep thinking of her, and if she had had that nail polish, would this be a pain that we could have, or, you know, we as a society could have taken away from her? You know, are these resources, are they better allocating people to teach, are they, you know, trying to teach people not to rape? And, you know, is this a market that we should continue to, you know, kind of tap into? And so that's up for debate, and a lot of people are skeptical. And so that's something that you can think about. Think about the people in your life. And there's a spokeswoman from the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape, and her name is Kristen Hauser, and she is completely against this nail polish. And she's a part of one of the oldest rape prevention groups in the country. And they're really speaking out against this nail polish. And not just the nail polish, but all of the other date rape prevention tools, if you will. And so she says, "When I saw them touting this project on Good Morning America and all over the internet, I thought, once again, they are missing the point. Though intervention may be well-intentioned, the promotion of its use, specifically to women to prevent rape, transfers the responsibility to stop the perpetration of sexual assault to those that commit this offense or those who may observe the perpetrator." So, you know, some activist groups are not exactly happy with this, and I can understand that. I can see how this is, you know, they're putting it on the hands of the women, and they're saying, well, these boys, you know, they're kind of giving the men a right to try to drug women, and that's not acceptable at all either. And so it's really this balance of personal opinion and how we teach young people how to have safe, consensual sex. And, you know, it's very well intentioned. And, you know, this nail polish, it's the Undercover Colors. You know, it's not even on the market yet. Yet it's getting all of this hype. And they're really excited, these people who are creating it. And they've been funded by a lot of different companies to, you know, they've taken to crowdfunding. And, you know, they're really trying to make this a really successful business venture. And a couple companies have tried to contact the boys and the men, I should say, that have created this. And, you know, it hasn't been so successful. They're trying to lay low, really kind of work on their project. And they actually did a startup showcase, and they won $100,000 from an investor who saw this product demo. And again, you know, people are having different reactions. There's a student in Chicago, and she says, "I'm pretty skeptical about this because the message is that it's up to women to prevent their rape, and it disregards the fact that the men are also raped." And that's very true. You know, you're probably not going to see these men wearing these, you know, pink nail polishes. But on the Undercover Colors Facebook, you know, posters, they're being really praised, and they're saying, "As females, we shouldn't have to worry about things like being date raped. But since sadly we do, I'm so glad there are people that are making it so easy to protect ourselves." You know, there's a lot of comments, and they're from all over the world, and, you know, they're positive and they're negative, and, you know, it can be a really touchy subject. And a female poster on the nail polish Facebook site, she said that she was appalled at some of these responses, and they're saying to not take away from this amazing accomplishment in the progression of preventing date rape. And they're really upset that these people are upset. And so it's really this vicious cycle. And, you know, it's a big controversy, and like I said, there are other products out there. You know, there are paper strips and lip glosses and coasters, and they're using similar technology. But, you know, Drink Safe Technologies is the company that offers the coaster, and they can be specifically designed with, you know, logos of universities or bars. You know, they may have them at bars, which I think would be a really nice way to implement something. To implement this little trick. And they're even being used at law firms. And, you know, a lot of these companies are saying that they're going to make some large orders for these rape prevention kits, you know, with coasters, mace, and other things, you know, colleges and military bases. And, you know, they're really trying. This company was founded 10 years ago, and they're really trying to educate people. You know, so 40 years of rape prevention, you know, rape prevention programs have been around for approximately 40 years in schools and colleges, and the rate of sexual assault has not declined. And this is taken from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. And the number of unreported rapes has gone down from about 80% of not being reported to about 60%. And so women and men are getting more active, but it's still something that we have to kind of take into our own hands and really be conscious of. And there are a lot of programs out there. And I know a friend of mine did an article on a bill that is being passed. Yes means yes. And it means that both parties, when they're about to take part in some sexual activity or intimate activity, I think they call it, both parties have to consent with a verbal yes. No longer is silence okay. You know, it's no longer that no means no. You don't even have to say no, but you absolutely have to say yes. And so schools are going to be required to implement this policy into their programs and into their education, whether that be, you know, a little online class that you have to take, or whether it be at freshman orientation. And so again, it's sad, but we're making really big strides to prevent it and to make it better. And I am glad it exists. You know, we live in this really cruel world, and there's evil out there, and there are people that want to take advantage of women. And I talked to my friend Anne, and she's a women and gender studies major here at Dominican, and she gave me a really great quote. And so I want to read that to you. And she said that, you know, I wanted her opinion on this nail polish. And she said that it falls into a gray area for me. For me, it feels like a lot of blaming the victim. It puts the responsibility back on the women who's being drugged instead of the perpetrator. Instead of teaching men from an early age that they should not rape, this product is basically insinuating that it is the woman's responsibility not to be raped. That's disturbingly problematic for me, not to mention completely backwards. That being said, rape, specifically date rape, is so prevalent in society that I'm sure many women would feel empowered knowing that they even have a shred of control in preventing this situation. Fundamentally, I feel that as long as this product has the potential to create awareness regarding this problem, then it is a good thing. It is just disappointing that we have to live in a society that insists that women need to be proactive so as not to be raped. And I thought that was very well said. So it's a great concept. You know, some people feel empowered. Some people, you know, I think we need to stop focusing on the negative effects of this and really just take into account the hard work that's being put into this and the ways that we can use it. And that is in our control. And for me, that's enough. So I encourage you to do a little bit of research on this project on for yourself, and kind of see what you think, and, you know, read some blog posts, read some Facebook comments, and, you know, talk with other people, see how you feel about it. You know, maybe you're in college and this is something you can start a little talk forum group with, you know, at your school. So let's switch gears here and, you know, talk inspiration. Let's lighten it up a little bit. In this day and age, a lot of children have allergies. And, you know, I don't remember kids having that many allergies when I was growing up. But today, it seems like there are more and more kids who have environmental and food-related allergies. You know, some schools, a lot of schools, are becoming nut-free zones. And, you know, they're offering, you know, allergy-friendly options at lunchrooms and cafeterias. And, you know, lots of things are gluten-free or nut-free or dairy-free. And they're really becoming a bigger problem. And it's a lot more prevalent in today's society. You know, personally, I know that my little sister, you know, one of my closest friends growing up, my aunt, my good friend Joel, you know, one of my really good friend Bella, my cousin, they all have really, really bad food allergies. You know, they have, it all affects them in different ways too, which I find really, really interesting. You know, my friend Sarah, growing up in our hometown, her allergies were so bad. We didn't even go out to eat. We couldn't go out to restaurants. The only place we could go really was Denny's for some reason, because that didn't seem, the food seemed to not be cross-contaminated. But that was something that she had to fear of. You know, cross-contamination was such an issue for her. She had a nut allergy. And it's so bad that one day I had eaten pistachios in my car. And, you know, I was in high school and I was a mess. I'm still kind of a mess when it comes to my car. But one of the shells had, you know, just dropped down and it was in like the side crack of something, and I didn't worry about picking it up. And she got in my car and she had a reaction. So bad, just from being in that car with the nut residue, that she had to be in bed for the rest of the day. And children have many symptoms in many different forms. You know, my aunt and my friend Joel, they have celiac disease. And, you know, many of you are familiar with that, and some are not, but it's a gluten allergy. And it eats away at your stomach, like the villi in your stomach, or villi in your stomach, and it's the lining. And if it goes untreated, it can even, it's been known to have cancer-causing problems. And my aunt gets really bad stomach aches, and she feels like she ate a cow is what she tells me. And even when she ate, you know, very, very little, if she gets in contact with gluten. And my friend Joel has the same disease, and he gets stomach aches as well, but he gets really puffy. We joke around and tell him that he blows up like a blowfish. And so food allergies are masked, you know, in a lot of different ways. And my little sister Callie, she has a wheat and gluten allergy, but it affects her breathing. It doesn't affect her stomach as much. And, you know, I can remember she was in the hospital countless times as a small child. And it was so scary. You know, Halloween was especially difficult for her. One, because the cold weather was really hard on her breathing, and she gets sick every October. It's crazy. It's like clockwork. But plus, she was allergic to candies, and that really limited her candy intake. You know, and then not to mention myself, you know, I'm type 1 diabetic. So while, yes, I can have sugar, Halloween is a horrific balance of blood sugars and boluses for me. You know, boluses is giving insulin for the food that I consume. You know, it was this constant juggling of, you know, guessing how many carbs were in each piece, and then accounting for all the walking around and running from house to house, and, you know, drinking hot cocoa or munching on caramel corn, you know, whatever it was really difficult. And I tended to, you know, run into these, you know, high blood sugars at the end. And, you know, because of all this, Halloween is my mom's least favorite holiday. And recently I saw these teal pumpkins online, and I didn't pay much attention. I thought they were just some cute Pinterest project. But then I saw it on the news, and it's the Teal Pumpkin Project. And this is encouraging. It's a movement, and it's encouraging people to take this holiday season and make it a little bit less scary for children with food allergies. And it's a campaign, and it raises awareness. And if you have a teal pumpkin, it means that you are providing non-food treats for trick-or-treaters by having a painted teal pumpkin outside of your house. And teal is the awareness, or it's the color of food allergy awareness. And so you can place it in your house. There are free printable signs that you can find online. And it's really designed to promote safety and, you know, inclusion, and respect the individuals that do have these food allergies and other health concerns. You know, they were trying to make Halloween this really fun, positive experience for all people. And I was so happy to read about this, and the public is responding really well. You know, some people are putting out mini packages of crayons or glow sticks and whistles, stickers and bubbles. And, you know, a lot of people who don't have children with allergies, they don't really think in that way, that, oh, you know, maybe candy isn't such a great idea. they just go out and buy a big bag and, you know, it's fine. But now these people are really implementing, even people who don't have children with food allergies, they're really implementing these ideas. And I'm really hoping that it takes off and really creates a good, happy Halloween environment for all kinds of boys and girls. I was really inspired, and I'm working on Halloween night, so I won't have a teal pumpkin outside of my house, but I really encourage you to put one up outside your door and, you know, break away from the typical candy treats and give something a little more unique. Like I said, there are free cute printouts online that you can Google food allergy teal pumpkin printouts, and you can post them to your mailbox or your door and just let people know that you're in an allergy friendly house. And that really warmed my heart, and I hope that this Halloween there are a few extra happy little kids out there that are just having a blast regardless of their health issues. So I want to thank you for listening today. This is DJ Homeschool, and you just listened to Real Life on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Tune in next Wednesday at 8 a.m., and I hope that you have a beautiful week.
Baby, got a wind in my hair, got a love in my heart. I'm gonna get you somewhere. I wanna touch you, baby, all the time. I want you to tell me, girl, would you be